chapter 5, page 58. Amen. Page 58. We're going to talk about the process today. I want to just kind of graduate into that just briefly. We've been on chapter 5 now for several classes, and I don't think we'll quite finish it today, but we should finish it Thursday. This is the 40th class today. It doesn't seem like it, but this is the 40th class, and I'm very encouraged by what God's endeavoring to show us. So the light of life, we've been talking about, obviously, that what we should desire in our hearts and our lives, and when we come to this place in the school of Christ, our personal schools, is that the Holy Spirit is bringing us to a place where the true life of Jesus flows through us, that we bring glory to His name. And as we've talked over and over, it's not about just quoting scriptures. It's not about stopping the alcohol or the drugs or the things the world does. And as we've said, most people don't do those things. But it's not just changing clothes or changing scenery. It's not just starting to go to church and do the sociable correct things. It's getting to know a person called Jesus Christ. It's getting to love Him. It's coming to a place of understanding who He is in our lives. And as we talk about the cross today, I just pray that the Holy Spirit can really make this real to you about the importance of the cross in your life. And I'm going to show you a couple of examples in the Word in just a few moments of how that Jesus understood something about the kingdom. And He understood something about the cross, that if we're going to have this life in our lives, if we're going to be able to exhibit the true life of Christ in our daily walk, and that's where we have the problem, okay? We don't have much problem on Sunday morning, 10, 11 o'clock, music's going good, preacher's preaching, and everybody around us, you know, we can kind of hide. But it's the Tuesdays, the Thursdays, the Fridays, when we're by ourselves, when it's just you and God. And you have to exhibit those characteristics that you've been told the Holy Ghost is trying to develop in your life. And so now the ball's in your hand. Amen. You've got to bring forth by the grace of God, not our own strength, but by the grace of God, we have to bring forth those characteristics. We have to respond rather than react. And we have those opportunities where we can react by the flesh or respond by the Spirit. So that's the working in of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus understood something about the cross even before He went to it. And I'll share that with you in just a moment of the importance. And as we get into this about the process of taking up your cross and following the Lord daily, you must understand something, that apart from the cross, you'll never truly understand the person of Jesus Christ. And as long as we put off the inevitable, if you're going to be one of His children that walk and progress, as long as you put off the inevitable of taking up your cross daily, of applying that cross to that personality of yours, that nature of yours, who you are, those attitudes, those mindsets, those moods, etc., etc. I'm not talking about the psychological things now. But as long as you refuse to apply the daily cross to these things, you're never going to really know who the person of Christ is. Because you cannot separate Christ from the cross or the cross from Christ. And to know the one, you have to know the other. And if you can get that in your spirits, it'll make you much more appreciate what we're about to talk about, the process of you maintaining that light of life. And we've talked about the crises where you come to a place, as Christ did when He spoke in John 12, and those Gentiles, those Greek Gentiles, wanted to see Him. He got all excited. He said, "My hour's come. I'm going to the cross now. I'm going to die. You've got to follow me. You've got to come into this death. You've got to fall into the ground and die." We talked about that grain of wheat for two classes of having to fall into the ground, losing its identity, etc. But what was in that grain of wheat was life that can be multiplied. Well, if you're a child of God this morning, that life is in you, but it's got to get out. Okay? Our natural cells, our natural man suppresses that life. There's got to be a breaking forth. There's got to come a crisis where we allow that natural man to fall into the ground and die, that the true life of Christ can come forth. That's what we're talking about. In the midst of that, there will come a process. There's a crisis that you have to settle the issue. It's in the cross. It's in the cross that all men have died. You've got to reckon that to yourself. But then there's a process of daily taking up the cross, of daily acknowledging and bringing these activities in our lives that we know, if we are saved, we know by the Spirit, is not the Lord, is not of God, it's just self. It may be good-looking self, or it may be bad self, but it's self. It may be self in the rafter scene, or it may be self, you know, out looking at magazines you shouldn't, but it's still self. And there's got to be a cross applied to that, okay? That's the process that we'll talk about. And unless you really understand what the cross, and I obviously today and Thursday, I could talk about it for weeks, the time it would take to really expound upon the cross, and I'm going to get into this a little bit today and Thursday, because we need to understand and really appreciate all that the cross meant and what it does mean. But if you can really get this in your spirits, about the cross and understanding Christ, then I think it'll really help you tremendously. Let's just start reading, first of all, before I get to that. Page 58, just kind of cross the bridge till we get to the process. I'm going to jump into the middle of this. If you weren't here, haven't been here, or maybe for the first time possible, or you haven't been in all these classes, I'm going to kind of jump into the middle of this. I won't have the time to overlap, but he says in the bottom of page 58, or the last paragraph, I should say, and he just talked to us about falling to the ground, losing our identity, etc., okay, about us dying, that his life may come forth. You see those words, but if it die, that's where I'm going to start it. But if it die, and this is the crises, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We shall share his life, take another life, and then a new form is given, a new life, not ours, but his. Now, that is what happens in the crises, when you get born again. You come to a place where you truly accept Christ as your personal Savior, you get born again, you accept the crises that all, when he died, all have died on the cross. You reckon that to yourself, that when he died, he fell into the ground for all men. He hung on that cross for all men. And when he was resurrected for all men. That where he died, we may live. And so it's a part of the resurrection life. And that's what he says here, is that if we die, we believe that we shall also live. Now, if we come to that place where we accept the crises, that we say, Lord, I want the natural, selfish man to die, that wants its ways, that wants its opinions heard, that wants to be right, that has to be acknowledged, good or bad things, and I'm not saying that we can never, ever voice our opinions or say anything. You know what the Lord is saying here. But where it's that selfish aggressiveness that rises up to have to be independent or acknowledged. If you come to a place where you say, Lord, I no longer want that. I want all that to fall into the ground and die. He said that's a crisis, but it's not just death, but it means that now you can have his life. That in place of all that that was you, you'll start exhibiting his life now. Amen? His opinions, his nature, his character. That's good news. It's not that we just fall into the ground and God just says, you know, you're saved, just sit in a corner somewhere and tape your mouth over and never say another word. It's not that at all. That's why he chose us, vessels, clay pots, instead of the angels. He wants his life to flow through us. He wants to use us to exhibit the characteristics of his son, Jesus Christ. So, if we will die to these things, accept the cross, then his life starts to come forth. Now, if you think that you enjoyed yourself when you were able to express yourself, or if you were able to be independent, Miss Independent or Mr. Independent and Mr. Big Shot and all these things, and be able to, you know, have a little corner of the world of your own and pretty much dictate, if you think that was good, just go ahead and have a good old-fashioned crisis where you let that die and just sense the love of God, the person of Christ, flow through you one good time where you know that these old clay pot has exhibited the life of Christ. It'll pale into non-existence everything the world ever offered you. Because that's living. You see, the world thinks it's living when it's dying. Amen? And I've said it before. Jesus said, I'll save the best for last. The devil gives you the best up front. Amen? And it's all downhill. I don't care if the house gets bigger. It's all downhill. Amen? Because it takes everything you've got to maintain that bigger house. And you're fighting tooth and nail. And I'm here to tell you, when you die, it's all going to pot. It's all going to be rust away with the using. It's gone. You can't take it with you. But the life that's being developed in you just gets better and better and better. He saved the best for last. The trump's going to sound, and we're going to be with him forever. Amen? And we haven't seen anything here. Nothing. He saved the best for last. So I'm simply saying, as we read here, that you'll get his life in place of the crises. It is a crisis. I do urge upon you to have real dealings with the Lord about this matter. But if you do expect what I have said, expect that you're going to fall to pieces. Expect that the beauty you thought was there will be altogether marred. Expect to discover that you're far more corrupt than ever you thought you were. And we can say a big amen. You think you're seeing things, grab a hold of the cross and say, I'm going with God full blaze. I want to see everything I am. Well, he's going to show you. Amen. And as he shows you, you're going to cry out with Isaiah, woe is me. I am undone, been undone, was undone. And if he don't do a work, I'm going to stay undone. Amen? Okay, expect that. The Lord will bring you to a place where you cry, woe is me, I'm undone. But then the blessing that will come will be just this. Oh, Lord, the best thing that can happen for me is that I shall die. And who is your biggest problem? You. You're the biggest problem. Amen. You're your biggest problem. I'm my biggest problem. Me. Not the devil, me. Only is the devil my problem is when me gives him the groundwork to work on. Amen. That's my problem. My fault. I give him the foothold to get into my life. It's me is my problem. Me. All right? You just think about science. Science thinks that they've almost superseded the need of God. scientific technology of this world we live in has almost come to a mindset that they think they have superseded the need of a God. And if you think about the things they have done to help poor old human mankind, they have so superseded the need of God and so have such a mindset of technology that they have now created a bomb that can so help people they'll just annihilate them in a few minutes. And unemployment you see is because men have become so knowledgeable in their scientific methods and ways, they have created machinery that we don't need men to operate. Instead of 100 men doing the job, they got one machine. Amen? So a lot of the unemployment is because scientists have gotten so brilliant, they don't need God, that they've created all this, that man just sits back. Amen? And so we've become very wise in our ways. But God said He'd take the wisdom of men and make it look like foolishness. Don't ever forget that. And the cross is something to most men, even in the church, most of the quote-unquote church, not the real church, not the remnant, not the true body. The cross is something that Jesus said, or Paul said, looks to men as foolishness. But to we that are saved, Paul said it is the power of God. The cross is, all right? That's in Corinthians. Now, even the blessed and the Lord was, that is exactly what I have been working at. I cannot glorify that corruption. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And that incorruption is the germ of that divine life in the seed which yields its own life up that is transmitted from Him. In other words, that seed falls in the ground, the real life comes forth. We read all this Tuesday or last Thursday. God is not going to glorify this humanity. He's going to make us like Christ's glorious body. That is far too deep, too much abroad, but on our point is that there has to be that crisis if we're going to come to the glory God's in. Now, the process. Let me just read this first scripture. Then there's going to be a process. In other words, you've got to come to a crisis where you settle the issue. I've got to embrace this cross. I've got to once and for all accept the cross of Christ, that it's no longer I, but it's Christ that lives in and through me. You've got to settle that issue. And until you settle that, you will not, say it with me, you will not, and say, I will not be open to the process. I don't care how much you shout, I'll check you out Tuesday morning on your shout. Amen. I don't care how much you're excited about the quote-unquote blessings of God. I'll talk to you Thursday afternoon, and then we'll see how excited you are about the blessings of God when He puts the cross on you. Amen. When He brings the cross. All right? Until you accept the issue that it's the way of the cross, that you've got to die, you've got to once and for all sell it. You've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You've been purchased. We can sing that song. We can shout it. But I'm telling you, Monday comes, and God says the shout was holly. It was sound and cymbals. I sit there and listen to you Sunday sing that, and there was nothing about it that was a savor of worship to me. Nothing. Nothing, because I knew you didn't mean it. Because I knew Monday come, when the cross came, you wouldn't be shouting then. Amen? Are you with me, saints? So the reality of the cross has got to be worked out in our lives, okay? So if you accept the fact that it can no longer be you, that you have been purchased with a price, that it's no longer your life to live, it's no longer our shots to call. Amen? Thank God we got somebody else that knows how to call them better. Because once again, we were our worst enemy. And the mess you got in was because of you. Amen? It was because of me. All right, now I got somebody to lead and guide me that's not going to make a mess of my life. Amen? He may bring me through trials or bring me to trials that look hard, but He'll work me through them that I'll be a better person for it. Amen? So, settle the issue that it's no longer my life, but it's the life of Christ that I need, the cross. When you settle that, then you'll be open for the process, all right? And the process is this. The Lord Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Let's say it again. Let me read it to you. If any man would, and notice the words, I've talked about this before, but notice the wording here, and Jesus is not trying to fill up space. There's something powerful in these words He's using. He said, if any man, notice He said any man, don't matter who he was, where he came from, his social status, no matter how low or high he is on the ladder, if any man will do what? Come after me. Not about me. Now, you've got to get this. He wasn't talking about come after religion, get saved from drugs, get off of the binges. No, He didn't say that. He didn't say if any man will come and try to get free from this and try to get free from that and be a better person. No, that's not what He said. People do that all the time in the world and know nothing about Christ. They get off of this, they get onto that, they get better houses, better cars, better jobs, and they move on with their lives, better careers. They're making better people themselves, quote unquote. That is not what Jesus is talking about. He said, if any man would come after me. He said, if anybody's out there that wants me to love me, to know me, to serve me, to give their all to me, if any man wants that, a lot of people want a better life, saints. A lot of people want better reputations and better careers. A lot of people, most people want that. But Jesus is not talking about that. He said, if any man will come after me, he's first of all going to have to deny himself. You can't have him and have yourself. Can't be done. You can't have him and have self. Let him deny himself and, you need to circle that word and take up his cross daily and follow me. So here we have the process. You say, I accept the crises. I accept the fact that if I'm going to have his life, the light of life, if I'm going to have that life, I accept the crises that it's no longer I, but it's got to be Christ that lives in and through me. We're to be channels, vessels that his life flows through. So we accept the crises. And then we say, now, Lord, the crises was good, but I've got to live the rest of my life on this earth. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday comes. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know the things that I confront in this world. How am I going to maintain that spirit of the cross? He says, well, I've got a process for you. We've accepted the crises that there was a cross, but I've got a process. If you're coming after me, Ephraim, if you're coming after me, Tom, if you're coming after me, first of all, deny yourself. All right? Put self aside. He said, then take up that cross daily. Then every situation, everything that confronts you, you bring it to that cross, and it brings death to everything that's natural, and it maintains the flow of the life of Christ. That's the process. There's nothing complicated about that. It's very simple. This is the issue. Jesus encircled the first word he said, if. This is the problem. Circle the word if. If any man come after me. The problem is not in the cross. The problem is not in all these other things. Saints, we've got to get first things first. You've got to get the horse before the cart. He said, if any man come after me. If you're not really coming after the person, if he's not what you really want, and I've seen this over and over and over. I have talked to people. They sounded good on the surface. They wanted to get off of this. They wanted that. They wanted the other. But there was something missing. And this is what it always is. They didn't really want the person of Christ for who he was. They want him for how he would help them, but not just to serve him. And when you're not like that, listen very carefully, you will not deny yourself. You will for a while. You will for a short period of time because it seems to be the right thing to do, but you won't do it long. It won't last long. It'll last a few weeks, a few months. Some may make it for a few years, possibly. But you don't deny self because the true motive was not coming after him for who he is. Saints, that's what Christianity is all about. If you can understand a little bit more about Christ, Jesus Christ came for what reason? Listen very carefully, very elementary here. Most of you know this. Jesus came because God had a hunger to commune with mankind. And he could not because of the sin. So Jesus came, Jesus Christ came so there could be union between God and man. And there had to be that sacrifice given where man's sins was put aside, where God could rent that veil and man could come in. It wouldn't be the priest now that had the rope tied around them, the bells and the pomegranates, where they had to slip in and slit the lamb's throat before. But now there had been a sacrifice given, the Lamb of God, where man could commune with God. That was God's heart. That was God's nature. He wanted to commune with man. And so the whole basis of Christianity, as we've told you over and over, is relationship. It's not what you don't do, it's not what you do, it's not do's and don'ts. Because if you really have a relationship with him, communion, it's the love that you have with him that constrains you. It's not that you can't, you won't want to. I can tell a man 10 things he can't do, but if he's not after Christ and he's not denying self, he'll do them one way or the other. He might have to slip to do them, but he'll do them. But you let that man fall in love with Jesus, you won't have to tell him those 10 things. He won't do those 10 things and 10,010 more things he won't do because he loves Jesus. Amen? It's about relationship. And if you don't come after him just to love him, you won't deny self. Oh, you may in the presence of other people. You may put it on out here in the presence of other people, but go home. Let me be that bird that looks through your window, or your bird that looks through my window. And you'll find out. You'll find out if we're doing it in the presence of people or we're doing it in the sight of God. And if you're not coming after Christ, listen to what I'm telling you. If you're not coming after Christ for his person, to love him with all your heart, you will not deny self. You may deny self of those things that's going to kill you anyhow. the real bad things. If you were stealing, you might eventually quit stealing because you don't want to go to jail. If you were drinking liquor, you might eventually quit drinking liquor because it's going to eat up the brain cells, et cetera, et cetera. But there's going to be other things that feeds the flesh just as much as the liquor does. Amen? And you'll feed it one way or the other. You may not feed it with this, but you'll feed it with that. You may be feeding it with your independence. You may be feeding it with your loudness. You may be feeding it with habits at home, things you do, be it eating, be it magazine, whatever. But you're going to feed that flesh because that flesh puts demands on you. And if it's not denied with the cross, it will be fed. Okay? So I'm trusting you're getting this. If you're not coming after the person, and this is what Jesus said, if you come after me, the person, for who I am, love me, be that Mary that pours out all that she has. And he was fixing to go to the grave and die. She said, I'll let it go to the grave and I don't never want it back. I'll pour out the costliest ointment I have and I'll let him have it. Amen? You got to be willing to do that. If you're doing that, then you'll be willing to deny self. And if you're willing to deny self, you'll take up the cross daily and then you're able to follow him. Notice the order. If you come after me, what you have to do, set aside self, take up the cross, and then you can follow me. But it has to be in that order. And I'm not trying to give you some systematic theology this morning, but that's exactly what that is. That is systematic, quote-unquote, theology from the mouth of Jesus Christ. If you want me, put aside self. The only reason, only way you can put aside self is through the cross. And once you've done that, then you're free to follow me. Amen. That's good news, and it's very simple. Now, here's what I want to tell you. All through the teachings of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, Jesus understood something. He realized that the people were having two problems. Listen very carefully. His disciples were, and those that followed him for the miracles were, the scribes and the Pharisees were, all of mankind, even to those that were the closest to him, the 12 that were right around him, they had problems with two things. One was they had a problem in truly realizing who he was, the Son of God. There were flashes of illumination at times. Ever so often they would acknowledge he was the Son of God, and then they'd fall right back in that same trap of the miracles. They were expecting him to rise up and overthrow the Roman government, etc. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, it proves out because the one thing they despised was when he started talking about the cross. That was the other thing they didn't understand. Two things. They didn't understand who he was, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and they had a problem with the fact of the cross. And every time he started to mention that cross, even to Peter having to be rebuked, when he started talking about the cross, it was like a shadow came over them. It was like they didn't understand. We don't want you to go to the cross. You know why? Now listen. Because those disciples, what they wanted was a crossless Christ. And it's the same today. People want a crossless Christ. They did not want him to go to the cross and die because they thought what needed to be done couldn't be done if he was dead. They thought he'd have to live, overthrow the Roman government, etc., etc., be raised up the king of the Jews, supersede, super overpower these Roman monarchs, etc., etc., and rise up in power. They didn't understand who he was. They thought the fact that he was the Son of God, maybe that's why he came. So if you read the Gospels, and if you read them, you'd understand that every time they mentioned the cross, it was like a shadow came over. Oh, my Lord, the cross. And it was more than the fact of them having to go, because they sure weren't thinking about that. They were concerned about him going. They weren't thinking about going to the cross herself. Only after Pentecost did Peter acknowledge, I'd just be hung upside down. He was ready to go then. Before Pentecost, they had no knowledge of what the cross was about. And it was like every time it was mentioned, a shadow came over them because they didn't understand who the Son of God was. Now, Jesus knew that. And there's two places, and there's other places I'll refer to you, two places today where Jesus acknowledged that until the cross took place, they would not understand really who he was. Now, the reason I'm laying this foundation today is how I preface this class today. If you and I don't make up our minds in our daily lives to take up the cross, we're not going to really know who the person of Christ is. We're not going to really understand who he is. And the more I've come to understand who he is, the more I want to love him, the more I want to give to him, the more I want to serve him, the more I want to commit to myself to him. And you can only know him through the cross. And so I'm sharing this with you to let you know that if we are going to be those disciples that go through the process of coming after him, denying self, taking up our cross daily, if we're going to be those that really get to know the person of Christ, it's in your daily walk that you really get to know him. It's when those opportunities arise where self can be glorified or self be seen or self do it, same old thing again, the same old laziness, the same old sloth, whatever your thing, whatever it is. When the opportunity arises, here it is. Are you going to pick up the cross and follow the Lord? And until you pick up that cross, you're not going to really know who the person of Christ is. You can't separate the two. You can't know Him apart from the cross. So if your relationship and your communion and your experiential knowledge of Christ is going to grow and increase, it's only going to come as you apply the cross daily in your life. Now, you got that? That makes sense? Let me say it again. If our knowledge, our experiential knowledge, I'm not speaking about our head knowledge, if our experiential knowledge, where we're truly experiencing Christ, as you do your children as they grow up, if you're truly going to experience Christ for who He is, it will only come and grow and mature as you daily apply the cross in your life. Now, and I dare say that every one of you sitting here understand what I mean about when the opportunity affords itself, you to apply your cross or not. Amen? You know. You live with yourself. And you know when it comes. Like I said, be it the independence, be it the slothfulness, be it the hanging in the ceilings, all the superficiality, whatever yours may be. You know when the opportunities arise. I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you, I'm sharing with you that if you're going to grow in your experience with Christ until you pick up that cross, you'll not know it because you can't separate the cross from Christ and know it. Now, turn to John 8. Let me show you something. John 8. I'm going to show you two places that Jesus emphatically said this. This is probably as far as we'll go today, but I want to lay this foundation. Now, if you know anything about John 8, the woman is called in adultery. Now, that's not what we're going to read, but I want to lay this foundation. These scribes and Pharisees brought him the woman taken in adultery. They just did this because they wanted to accuse Christ. Now listen very carefully. They always were challenging Christ about who He said He was. Okay, they always questioned Him. Who do you think you are to explain or exclaim that you're the Son of God, etc.? Okay? So they come, they bring the adulterous woman, and you know the story, we've shared it before many, many times, of how they all had to lead, the eldest to the youngest, they walked away. And Jesus said to the woman, where are those that condemn you? She said, there are none here. He said, I condemn thee no more either. But He did say this, go and sin no more. Okay? When a person gets born again, they are going to want to go and sin no more. All right? Now, but what I'm trying to get you to see is here, there was a question here of who He was. Now, remember, I just told you that for us to grow in our experiential knowledge of who Christ is and to know Him as a person, you can't separate the cross from the person if we're going to really know Him. So the question here is in John 8 of who He was. Who are you? How can you be who you say you are? You say, I am, I am, I am, I am. We challenge you that you're not who you say you are. All right, that's what this is all about. So look at John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now what He is doing here, He is trying to explain to them who He is. They brought the adulterous woman, and they are trying to trick Him. The law of Moses says this, you say that, what you going to do? Let's see what He's going to do. Well, He just blew their minds away. They could not figure this man out, okay? So then He takes the opportunity, He speaks to them again, and He's going to tell them who He is. Now listen very carefully, you read on. If you're a child of God here today and you're in a personal school of Christ, the Holy Spirit is always constantly endeavoring to reveal the person of Christ to you in your daily walk, at home, at work, going to work. The Holy Spirit is continually trying to bring a revelation to you of the person of Christ. This is what Jesus is doing. He's trying to explain to them, reveal to them who He is. Okay? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. In other words, you're not who you say you are. Though Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. And notice He's saying, you don't know, you can't know, you don't know where I come from, you don't know who I am. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. Ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, notice this, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Look at what they said in verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Now the whole conversation here is about him endeavoring to reveal to them who he was. They'd have none of it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't get it. Listen to me. They couldn't get it. He tried explaining that he was the light of life. They said, who is your father? If you'd known me, you'd have known the father. They didn't know who the father was. They didn't know who Christ was. They didn't know. They didn't get it. These Pharisees, these scribes couldn't get, who is this man? They wouldn't believe it. So they asked him outright, well, who art thou? In your heart, if you're born again, there's a stirring by the Holy Ghost to find out who this man Jesus is. There's a stirring of God that gives you a hunger and a thirst. You didn't all of a sudden last week get hungry and thirsty for Christ. The Spirit of the living God stirs a hunger that only He can feed by showing you the person of Jesus Christ. And so they ask, who art thou? That's what you should be doing as a child of God. You should be crying out, I want to know this Jesus. I want to know Him in all that He is. I want to know Him. So they said, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I'm who I've always said I was. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Look at what Jesus says. They said, who are you? Verse 28, Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. What did Jesus just tell him? He said, apart from the cross, you'll never know who I am. He said, when the Son of Man is lifted up, then shall ye know that I am He. What did Jesus just do? Jesus just simply gave us a law of the gospel that for mankind to truly know who Christ is, He first of all had to be lifted up. And the lifting up is talking about the cross. And what Christ is saying is, apart from the cross, you'll never know me. And I'm telling you boldly, in your daily walk with Christ, apart from daily applying the cross, you'll never grow in your experience with the Lord. He has given us a means whereby we can have a revelation continually ever growing of who this person is. Thank God. Because your selfish natural man wants nothing to do with this person of Jesus Christ. But the Spirit of the living God has given you a tool, the cross, to pick up daily, to put self aside, that a revelation of heaven can continually flow. The open heaven that we talked about. Now you see that? The conversation was about what? Who am I? Who's my Father? How do you know me? Jesus says, you're not going to know me until the Son of Man is lifted up. Then you'll know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. He connected the cross with knowing Him. With knowing Him. The same is true in your life. Do you get that? John 3. Turn to John 3. I hope you're getting it. You say, well, that's so simple. It may sound simple, but I'm trying to encourage you that we're in the place of the school of Christ in this book. And I trust in your personal daily lives, you're in a place where there should be a hunger to have more of a revelation of the person of Christ. And you're going to have to be more and more acutely discernful of your daily walk. It's not a heaviness. It's not that you walk around legalistically blinded, but it's that you walk around knowing the Holy Ghost will give you the discernment to know those areas in your life that you apply the cross. And as you apply the cross, He says, you'll know me. He says, you won't know me till I'm lifted up. You won't know me till I'm on that cross. He's saying the same things to us. We know Him more and more as we daily follow and pick up the cross and follow Him. The revelation is open to us to know the person of Christ. I should be able to ask you, and I'm not going to, I should be able to ask any group of congregation of Christians, oh, is there a burning desire in you to want to know Him and love Him? Every hand should shoot straight in the air. That's my heartbeat, to know this man, to love Him. Well, if that's the case, then tomorrow comes. And the Holy Ghost is going to show you some things that's going to hinder you from knowing Him. And you know what you're going to do? God, how do I get these things out of my life that's hindering me from knowing You? He'll go back, He'll quote to you what Jesus said. Well, Jesus said, if you're coming after Him, deny yourself and pick up the cross and you can follow. You mean You've made a way for me to put this stuff aside? Yes, the cross. And the cross also is your way of knowing Him more and more. I'll tell you, you'll run to it. You'll run to it. Amen? You get that? John 3. Now what I tell you, I said man was having a problem knowing who he was, and they had a problem with the cross. Watch this, John 3. You know the story of Nicodemus. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him. Now notice what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus was one of the most well-learned intellectual men of his age. Learned in the Word, in the school of the law. He knew the school of the law. He knew it. He was very well-learned. He was a teacher himself. He had a problem knowing who Jesus was, though. He didn't know who He was. You know the story when He said He had to be born again. But let's read this in its context of what I'm saying, the cross apart from Christ. You've got to have the cross in your life to truly have revelation knowledge. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. Look what He knew. But He didn't know it all, did He? He just knew part of it. He said, we know You're from God, but the fact that You're the Son of God, we don't accept that, but we know You're from God. All right? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he acknowledges Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you know I'm a good man, a teacher. I do good things, but you're not born again and you can't truly understand. You've got to truly be born again by the Spirit. He was acknowledging Nicodemus was a good man. You can be a good person, go to church, but you've got to be saved, born again. You've got to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Oh, we know people, I know a bunch of folks, bunch of people, relatives, deacons, relatives, they go to church. Not that I'm the judge, but it's obvious they've never been born again. They go to church every Sunday. They know nothing about this man, Jesus Christ. Nothing. They quote a scripture and it's ink on a page. There's no lie. There's nothing about the person of Christ. Amen? You can't have intimacy with a person and not have some life. There's no lie. He says, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. So here's a man that don't know who he is. Two problems that they had. They didn't know who he was, and they didn't understand the cross. Jesus is saying to us today that apart from the cross, you'll never know who I am. He said emphatically in John 8, these people will never know me until I'm lifted up. Then you will know I am He when I'm lifted up. When the cross is applied, you'll know I'm He. He's going to say the same thing to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I told you Sunday, I'm 20 years old, praise God. I'm going to be 21 January. I'm a new person. Amen. Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, they're having a conversation here about who he is and how to be born again. And you're a good man, Nicodemus, but you've got to understand who I am. I'm the Son of God. I'm not just a man that does miracles. I'm not just a good teacher. I'm the Son of God. You've got to give your life to me. You've got to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. In other words, he's saying, Nicodemus, hadn't you heard all we've said? Hadn't you heard all we've testified of? And you still don't receive our witness. You don't understand, do you, Nicodemus? And if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man have ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And notice what Jesus says next. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. What was he saying, Nicodemus? I've testified, I've witnessed, but you'll never truly understand until I'm lifted up on that cross. And all Jesus was saying was that apart from the cross, we'll never really know Him. We'll never really understand Him. You ever really thought about the cross very seriously? You ever thought about that Jesus made a tremendous statement on the cross that we quote all the time? He said, is it finished? He said, it is finished. before he died. He said, it's finished. It's done. Then he gave up his spirit. Because he said, no man takes my life. I give it up and I'll raise it back up. No man takes my life. He finished the work before he even died. It was done, he said. Did not Jesus say it was finished? If you and I could truly get an understanding and a revelation of the cross of Christ, of all that happened on that cross, I'm telling you, it would truly revolutionize your life of how splendid God's perfect plan was for our lives. And now, after we've had that crisis, we come to a place where God's, where we say, God, I want to grow and mature. Oh, but I see so much of me. I see so much of self. How can I ever be all that you said I could be? And Jesus cries out, if you'll just come after me and deny yourself, I've got an old rugged cross here that every time that old self wants to rise up, we'll run to it, praise God, and you can follow me. You want to really know me, he says? You can't know me apart from that cross. Because what happens is this, saints, let me close. And you all know this. We all know it very well. Did you get that in John 8, John 3? Is it very obvious that Jesus brought both of those men to a place where until I'm lifted up, you won't know me? Until the cross is applied, you can't know me apart from the cross? Here's what happens in our lives. We're going along pretty good, going to church, etc., and then here it comes. Here comes self. Here comes that old nasty attitude. Here comes that slothfulness in our lives. That is what hinders your going on with God. And you know it does. You know it hinders you. It hinders your progression. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's lust. But it hinders your progression because something inside, if you're born again, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. And the Holy Ghost has a job to do, just like Jesus did. He wants to get you to Jesus. He wants to mold and make you into His image. Amen? He wants to give you a revelation of Him. And the Holy Ghost sits there wanting to know Christ, wanting to get you to know Christ. But here comes those hindrances. And you know that's what they are. They become obstacles and hindrances and distractions from your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what they become. And you say, how am I going to get rid of them? I want to know this man. Here's this flesh. Here's this attitude of mine again. How do I get rid of it? Jesus says, I can't know Him with this thing in my way. Here I am spending hours, sometimes days, some people sometimes weeks, with an attitude because somebody didn't say something right or something didn't go their way. And so they get an attitude and they voice their opinion and it's about worth 2 cents of nothing. Amen? Because I'm promising you a year from now you can look back and wish you'd never opened your mouth. And that's about what it was. Those around you say, well, there he goes again, blowing off hot air. And that's all it was, hot air. Amen? And we don't need no more hot air today. It's hot enough as it is. Amen? We don't need no more. Amen? And that's about all it was. It was hot air. But if you truly got a heart to know Him, you say, Lord, here's this mess again in my life. I want to know You, but this is a hindrance. It's like it's between me and knowing Him. He says, I've got a cross for you. You apply that cross to that hindrance. It removes it out of the way that you can come and know Me and grow in grace. That's good news. It's just like a housewife, if they want to spend time with her kids, they got 400 plates to wash and 38 spoons, and I'm being facetious here, and 1,200 pots. I mean, it's going to take you about all day to get the dishes washed. You ain't going to have no time with your kids. Amen? Well, if somebody would come in and put a cross on those things and get them out of the way, then you have some time to spend with your kids. It's the same in our spiritual lives. There's things that hinder us from knowing Him. And you know, some of those are good things. We call them good, busyness or whatever that hinders our relationship with Christ. She said, put the cross on it, move it out of the way, and it opens the door to know Me. That's what Christianity is. And I'm thankful that God has given us a way in our daily lives. He said, if any man come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. That's the process, the continuation from the crises that ever opens the heavens to you. And we've talked about the open heavens. You want the open heavens? You're going to have to pick up a cross. Now, what's your part? And I'm going to close. 10 minutes to 11. You know, I know, we know, if we're here saved today, we know, for the most part, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us our problem is. We know when we take front center stage. We know when self is up front again. We know when self is in the way. We know those things in our lives. The religiosity, whatever it may be. Unless you've just totally been blinded. But if you're truly born again and truly trying to walk in grace and truly trying to walk in the Spirit, if you've not frustrated the grace of God, if you've not grieved the Holy Spirit, if I read this Bible correct, God is greater than everything man's made, the flesh and all. Okay? He's greater than the flesh. So if you're truly trying to go in the Lord, grow in the Lord, and move forward, love Him, be humbled, etc., then the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness to those things in your life that's not correct. He will not condemn you because you're in Christ. He'll not condemn you because you're in Christ. But He'll come to judge those things in your life. He'll come to bring hope and peace and joy that those things can be set aside. Your part is when they arise up on Monday or Friday or Tuesday. Here's your process. You're in the process. Well, here it is. It's that job. It's that relationship. It's whatever it is. It's not that you, and we'll read this, it's not that you fall on your knees. God, get this thing away from me. Lord, help me to realize this is what I've come to that I may know you. I'm just going to apply the cross that I can know you in an ever greater way. That's your part. When self rises up, that old nasty self, the attitudes and things, and I use that word often, it's just an example. When those things rise up, what are you going to do? It's hindering. I'm telling you, it's hindering you from knowing the Lord. It may not hinder you from coming to church Sunday, but you'll sit through another service, hearing another sermon, singing another song, not having grown or progressed, and you go home dry as you came. Amen? But if you apply the cross and get that thing out of the way and go humbled, I'm telling you, it'll be more than a song, it'll be more than a sermon, it'll be more than a prayer, it'll be more than fellowship. It'll be the body of Christ coming together to lift up and exalt Jesus Christ and be drawn to Him. And every time you're drawn to Him, something happens. And it's our choice. We can come and sit and choose to sit idle and, you know, and not really receive, nonchalant, indifferent, like, hey, nobody understands, I don't really care. That's fine. But I'm telling you, you're not going to go on with the Lord. And I've seen dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens that wanted God to do things and wanted God to fix things. They had problems and they wanted God to do for them. It's hard-pressed to find multitudes that want to come after Him for who He is today. And that's the problem. When you come after Him, you'll want a cross. You'll want something to get them dishes out of the way. Amen? Because you want to spend time with your kids. Amen? You'd welcome Ephraim coming in. Oh, I wash dishes for you. Well, thank you, Ephraim. Thank God I can go spend some time to put a puzzle together with my kids. You'll welcome Ephraim coming in. But if you don't really want to spend time with your kids, it don't matter if you do the dishes or not. You ain't going to spend time with them. Am I right? You'll find another excuse. I'm just using this as an example, okay? Y'all make, I think somebody's put a tag on me, a type of. Y'all, where's that phrase come out? A type of. Uh-oh, guilty one laughed, but the guilty dog barked, amen. It's a type of, I'm being funny. A type of. And that's exactly right. If I was at home washing the dishes, and I wanted to spend time with my kids, and I had 100 bunch of dishes, and Ephraim walked in, Pastor, I'll wash the dishes for you, saying, thank you, Ephraim, I appreciate that, because I really want to spend time with my kid. But if I didn't really want to, I just could tell him to do something else. Spend your time. I ain't got time. I wouldn't care if he washed dishes or not. Same is true spiritually. If I really want to know the person of Christ, if I really want to know Him, in the process of growth, and God says, you don't really know me, Pastor? Yes, sir, I don't really know you. Well, come after me. Deny yourself and pick up this cross. You mean I can take this? And this means I get to know you? Yes, I'll welcome the cross. But if I'm just in it for what I can get, just going to church, looking good, sounding good, but at home I'm not really making the cake, just expect the church and the pastor to put the icing on, the candles on, then I don't really care if I got a cross or not, because I'm not too excited about taking care of that slothful self. Oh, for a few weeks, we'll always make those little amendments and we'll do good for a few weeks and tidy up and do this, but it never lasts. It never lasts. It's never long-lived. It's because it's not been a conviction you've embraced to dictate your way of life. It's become a pattern of do's and don'ts. Amen? But if I really want to know the person of Christ, I welcome Him saying, there's a cross, and I'll pick it up that I may know Him. Amen. And then I can spend time with Him. That makes sense? If any man come after me, pick up his cross and follow me. Amen. The cross makes a way to know the person of Christ. Jesus said it on two occasions. Two occasions. He said it to Nicodemus. He said it to his Pharisees in John 8. Not until I be lifted up will you know who I am. But if I'm lifted up, then you'll know me. Pick up the cross and you know Him. Amen. Because it sets those things aside that's hindering your knowing Him. Amen. Praise God. You take this and read chapter 5 and pray over it. You pray over chapter 5. Take some time to read it, meditate on it, pray over it, and go to your Word and open up the Gospels and you ask the Holy Ghost, you make the cross of Christ real to me. And trust me, the Holy Spirit will do exactly that. The cross is your way, very simply, to know the person of Christ, to remove those hindrances in your life, those obstacles that stops you from knowing Him. You read that chapter there, the light of life, you read it, pray over it, take some time with it, amen, take some time with it. You pray over it, you ask the Holy Spirit to make the cross real to you, get into the Gospels, and you find out what Jesus said about the cross, and the Holy Spirit will make it very real to you, very real, amen.
What does it mean by your cross, carry your cross?
Well, it's the individual, we've said over and over that Christ is a very personal and individual God. And he molds and makes us into his image, but he realizes that we all come from different places and different angles. The cross that he expects Ryland to walk through today, or the areas that he expects Ryland to walk through, may be different than what I walk through, but we're all getting to the same place. So we can't compare trials or tribulations or problems in our lives. But the personal cross is that whatever the need is, he has that's able to remove it and your hindrances to get to him. So that's the personal cross. Whatever it is that you're involved in, or you have to be free of, or you have to work through, that's the personal God that comes with a personal cross. So that he comes to you, that you know he's a very personal God. He's able to work these things out in your life.
Even if you don't know what those crosses are.
Oh, the Holy Spirit will make them real to you. In due process, he will make them real to you. Amen. Charlie? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were here. Anybody else? Did I answer your question, Ephraim? Okay. Listen, you do that, okay? I sense to tell you to do that. You do that. It may take you a few days, a few weeks, but you brood over it in prayer. The Holy Ghost will make it real to you. Not only was the sin nailed on the cross, but the man. And that, we talked about last week, that's the problem. Hey, I want my sins gone, but hey, I still want to be me. Amen? I want to be me. That's not what the cross represents, okay? Good point, Jose. Make sure he gets those taken last week. Everybody understanding that? I can't overemphasize, and I knew this was going to take some time today, I can't overemphasize. Not only was the cross for your salvation, but if you're going to grow in your revelation knowledge of the Lord, and once again, you got to circle the word if. I'll ask God, what are we here for? What are we in this thing for? What do we preach for, sing for, read our Bibles for, pray? What are we in this thing for? To miss hell, to gain reputation, do the sociable right thing? We need to be in it to come after the person of Christ, to know him for who he is. That's what Christianity is saying. And that's what's been so removed from most of the church of what real Christianity is. That's why we've gone so far off, because Christianity, all of heaven is about him. Christianity is about knowing this man that loves us enough to die for us. That's what you've got to be in it for. Unless you are, I'm declaring to you today, you will not deny self very long at a time. That old lazy spirit, once again, a type of shadow example. Oh, you'll do good for a while, but it'll dictate your life, all your life, until you make up your mind, I'm coming after him. Then you'll want to put off self, and then you'll look for something. But I can't, Lord. I can't put off self. Here's the cross. Hallelujah. Here's Ephraim to wash my ditches. Amen. And you're welcome. You understand that? Please, please get this in your spirit. And you'll see true growth in your life. You'll see maturity. You'll be humbled. You're going to be humbled, because I'm telling you, when you embrace this, you'll look back and say, God, how could you be so patient with me? You'll see things you said, the way you acted, that were so out of character of God's kingdom. And yes, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, yes, it'll be very embarrassing at times of how you've acted and how God put up with you. I know. Amen. You better grab a hold of it, because you'll never know him apart from it. You never know. Let's stand. Praise God. Thank you very much. I encourage you to read this chapter. If you have time, read it again between Thursday. We're going to try to finish chapter 5 Thursday. And a very important pivotal point in the school of Christ. I encourage you to read chapter 5 again and get very familiar with it. And then we'll try to finish out this process Thursday. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today, your encouragement. We thank you for the cross that makes a way. It makes a way for us to know the person of Christ. I thank you, Lord. God, just lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. God, stir the hearts of these, your people, Lord, in this class, to open up their hearts, to truly open up their hearts, God, to the cross of Jesus Christ. It opens up the windows of heaven. It opens up the heavens to us to really, by revelation, know him. God, we thank you for this process. Help us to embrace this process, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.